Sure. celebrating that I am concentrating on organizing and, I guess having some success. I have two kids that have issues. Well, I don't know. Need help with organizing homework, and I guess I'm having a little bit of success with one of them, who has ADHD and dyslexia with who's seven, getting some of the homework successfully done and trying to find some strategies in negotiating ways to get that successfully done without having complete and utter meltdowns. Not all the time, but sometimes. And it's working. And I'm...
What's been working?
Kind of giving her space and finding a... We have a little routine of going up into her... I have twins, seven-year-olds, and one of them... My girl with who has ADHD has just a hard, obviously a harder time with everything, and so we found a place in her going upstairs in her bed to read because she obviously has a harder time reading. We finally found a tutor who's really done a fantastic job in getting her ahead, and she's actually reading now and becoming a little bit more confident, but needs to do it daily, and she still doesn't like to do it. And we found a place where I can coerce her to kind of get up, go into her bedroom, and we snuggle up on the bed. And she enjoys that time alone together, like away from everything else, because I have another son, and so it's busy. It's a lot of stuff going on downstairs after school, and so we kind of steal away upstairs together. And thankfully, my other daughter, who's seven, can do stuff on her own. So I have time to be able to go upstairs, and that's working.
Little celebrations and those little successes, and it may not seem like major progress, but you know, every little step forward is a step forward, you know, no matter how small it is, and every success is a success. And you know, our kids and ourselves, you know, we're awfully hard on ourselves. We don't always hear a lot of fabulous and positive things, so it's important that we celebrate, even if it doesn't seem like it's a big success, because it is. Do you want to take aim? We were just talking about what we're going to take aim on. The topic for this week is curiosity. And it doesn't have to, whatever you take aim on doesn't necessarily have to be related to curiosity. It can be something that's been on your mind today, or we can stick with the homework challenges. It can be really whatever floats up for you as we're talking about taking aim. If you want to take a few seconds or moments and just kind of reflect on what it is that's top of mind, let's go ahead and take aim, and then we can move on to the kind of teachy part and then move back into the fun part where we get to talk more.
My challenge currently is really with her is how to figure out how to reach her when she is totally having a complete meltdown. And I just don't know how to get, I still struggle on how to get through
to
her.
Is it more about keeping her safe during the meltdown or getting her to stop the meltdown altogether?
To stop it, to do whatever needs to happen, be it I wish I've had so many instances this week, it's been ridiculous, but I can't think of it right now.
Okay, but just stop the meltdown, right? So whatever is leading up to that is probably where you're going to need to focus or take a look at, and that's a perfect segue into getting curious.
When I try, but she's so unavailable.
I get it. One of the things that, you know, a lot of parents come to us and they are like, you know, fix it, right? tell me what to do. Tell me what behavior modification system to put in place. Tell me what system or support I need to do for this so I can make it better right away. And the truth is that if we don't know what the actual problem is or what's really going on, no matter what system or support or behavior modification chart or whatever we throw at it is going to fail. Because if we don't truly know what's kind of going on behind the scenes, then we're going to choose incorrectly. And we're going to try to manage something that is not the right thing to manage. You guys have probably had situations like this before. When my daughter was younger, she was in Girl Scouts at school. I think it was Daisy Scouts, actually. And she loved it. You know, she loved going. She loved all the crafty stuff. I worked full time. And so, you know, I never got to go to the the meetings. But, you know, I'd bring cupcakes, whatever. And I was traveling for work at the time quite a bit. And my mother-in-law had promised that she would sew on the little patches or the little badges on my daughter's sash so she would have it to wear to school. And about halfway through the year, she started having meltdowns. My daughter did not want to go to Daisy Scouts, didn't want anything to do with it, wanted to quit. And this was kind of back in the times when we, you know, we didn't let anybody quit anything for any reason. We were young, new parents. And so we were adamant that she finish, and the meltdowns just got more and more severe. And we're like, what the heck? You know, did you get in a fight with a kid, you know, who's also a Daisy Scout? You know, like the troop leader, what in the heck is going on? And we talked to the troop leader, you know, we asked all these questions to try to understand why, you know, our six-year-old daughter didn't want to go to Daisy Scouts because, you know, it was paramount that she finish Daisy Scouts. And I never really asked her what was going on, or I never asked her in a way that she heard so that she could answer the question. And the real reason she didn't want to go to Daisy Scouts was that my little fashionista, even at six, was embarrassed that her sash did not have her badges sewn on yet. All the other girls did, and hers didn't. And that was a really easy fix. But it never even occurred to me that that would be the reason why she didn't want to go to Daisy Scouts. I thought it had to do with, you know, I thought of a million different things. But I did not ask her, or I did not ask enough questions to get to the space where she was able to tell us that that was the problem. And I think we do that a lot, you know, or when we ask our kids questions, we end up putting them on the defensive, and it sounds like we're accusing them of something, you know, why didn't you do this, or how, you know, how could you let this happen, instead of really asking questions that help us get to what the answer might be. And that's what getting curious is all about. It's not necessarily asking your kid what's going on, although that's one path, but it's also getting, you know, curious with the other people in your world, and the folks that are around you. I think there's one other thing I wanted to throw out there. You know, just kind of that what was going on, or what were you thinking, or in a way, you know, what's coming up for you? What's important about that? What would you like to have happen differently, or what would you like to have happen? Those are all great questions to get your kids talking, or the people around them talking, and come up with suggestions of what's happening and what might really be going on. Put your detective hat on. So what's coming up for you guys? I'm talking about curiosity and sort of that need behind the need.
I think that for me, with my son, and homework is, you know, why don't you want to do the homework? I mean, you know, and it could be as simple as, you know, I'd rather play on my computer, or it could be something, you know, more of, you know, I'm tired. I've been at school all day, and I think I should be done. You know, to do lots of things, and so it's going to ask him sort of, you know, hey, you know, just give me some good reasons why you're not doing your work.
Yeah. And like you were saying at the beginning with the figuring out the calendar or the planner, you know, you had to keep asking questions until it made sense.
Okay.
So that, you know, you couldn't take the next step forward in terms of helping him with his homework or figure out what needed to be turned in when until you could figure out how the teacher was structuring this crazy planner.
Right.
And that's a perfect example. Yeah. You know, sometimes I think, and I think moms do this a lot too, you know, if we automatically make ourselves feel less than, you know, if someone asks us a question about how did, you know, how did you miss that? Why didn't you want to do that? What's going on there, instead of taking it at face value. And some of that has to do with the way the person we're speaking with asks the question. But, you know, we're often on edge as it is, or we're sensitive to any perceived criticism or judgment from outside. And that's, it's definitely, it can be a trigger point as well. And it's something that I think as parents we have to be aware of, because we also have to model what responding to curiosity and appropriate and respectfully asked questions, what that looks like for our kids. Chris, what's coming up for you?
Not yet. I'm sorry. I'm dealing with another.
I know, you're like, totally fine.
Child.
Yeah. So, Andrew, if you go ahead.
Go ahead. What were you going to say?
Oh, I was just asking what was coming up for you in terms of curiosity and asking questions. We're talking about stopping the meltdowns or stopping the temper tantrums from happening.
Well, that's my problem, is that when I try to get curious, she can't answer. She has no answer. So I try to ask her. In the middle of it, she can't, right? And then.
Well, right, yeah.
Afterwards, when I try to ask her, she'll apologize because she gets angry, or she'll say hateful things. And I'll say, like, oh, that hurt, or that hurt my feelings.
Uh-huh.
And she'll get up and she'll write me a note and she'll apologize. But she can't verbalize why.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't, like, the whole curious thing, like, and she actually had a shirt on today. It was funny. I was looking at that shirt. It says, be bold, be curious, be strong. And I was like, looking at that, be curious. I'm like, huh, that's funny.
I like that.
I can't find out why I can't be curious because you can't answer me.
Well, so maybe she doesn't know. I mean, if she doesn't know, she doesn't know. It's what, and that's where you have to be the detective, right? And sometimes it starts hours ahead of the meltdown. What's the same? You know, what happens before? You know, is there any similarity? We talked last time a little bit about time of day, you know. Has she eaten? Is she hangry? Is she having to transition more quickly than she was prepared to transition? You know, some are, and sometimes that we just don't know. You know, sometimes we just have a bad day. And that's the way too.
I mean, a lot of it is we get her, you know, after school, meds are wearing off. It is homework. She's got to do homework and she doesn't like it. You know, she does her tutoring homework, she does her homework. First grade, even, it's ridiculous how much stuff they got to do, but, and she doesn't like any of it, right? It's a challenge. It's hard for her. She processes slow. It's hard to read.
Sure.
You know, so she doesn't like it.
It's not fun.
Yeah. And the drugs are wearing off. So I know it's all of that. And she doesn't eat a lot because of all that. So I think it's a combination of all of it, but I can't control any of it.
Sure you can.
So, wow. we try to give her a snack. We try to, like, get her to, you know, figure out, do we run around? Do we play first? But that tends to not work, because then she gets too distracted.
You know,
so we played with that. And then we got to kind of come in and we talk about what we're going to do. First, we've written it down. So that we've started that. We have a whiteboard now because my son as well is needing a little bit of visual instruction at 12. So we're doing that. So just this week, we're doing that. And actually, the other 7-year-old who has no issues is responding very well to all of this. I'm like, well, that's great. But
I mean, that's true, right? The structures that work for kids with ADHD work for all kids, which is
right,
awesome.
But our
kids need them.
Right. She's not the one that needs to benefit from, but she's benefiting greatly from all of it. So we're trying different things. But I think I see why I just can't. Like, I can't give her extra medicine then because she'll never go to sleep or never eat dinner.
So, you know, I mean, but you know what's causing the temper tantrums, you know, for the most part, what's going on that leads up to that, right?
I think so.
Yeah. And if nothing else, you're asking the right questions and you're identifying the right areas, and then it becomes more about figuring out what she needs to activate her brain after school. Does she need the protein snack? And maybe she's not going to eat it, but will she try a smoothie? Will she have, you know, a lot of it is trial and error, unfortunately. But if you know that it's hunger seems to be the thing that drives it, or boredom, or the medicine wearing off, those are all places to start.
Right. Or then, I guess I think, what I'm learning now that I'm speaking, is that the motivation piece, like, you know, it's not, you know, for these kids, it's not that you have to do it or you got to get it done now. I have to find a way to hook her in. And I guess I'm not being successful at that. And trying to figure out different ways to motivate her.
Yeah.
To entice her to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying different things. Like, you know, if we get it done, you can watch a show or you can.
Yeah. Does that typically work?
It depends. He said it's inconsistent.
Yeah.
And sometimes she's so
hard.
Sometimes she's very stubborn.
Yeah.
That's what's frustrating. She's very stubborn. She'll be like, I'm going to watch a show right now, and I'm not doing anything until I watch a show. And she literally digs her heels in, and there's no, I can't get her to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't know what to do. Like, do I dig my heels in and say, you're not watching a show until you do your homework? And then sometimes I look at that, I'm like, well, this isn't going to work. I could dig my heels in, but.
Probably not. Yeah.
Do I mean, just let her watch a show? But even after that,
your value.
Yeah.
Oh, I was just gonna say, you know, you can dig your heels in if you. I mean, do you guys have house rules?
Yes, but not that specific.
Okay, no, that's good because I like vague house rules because then you can kind of manipulate them for the situation if you need to. You know, I think there's a couple things that are going on there. One is how much of a big deal is it if she doesn't do her homework and watches the show? Sorry, I've been invaded by a 3-year-old. All right, sorry about that. I just totally lost my train of thought. Oh, you know, in the power struggles, you know, they say, you know, pick your battles, and if you pick the battle, then make sure you win. And I don't know that that's necessarily accurate, but or that that's necessary, but I do think it's a matter of how important is it, you know, is it important that she finishes the first grade, you know, whatever,
right?
Or is it okay if she watches the show and then, then later, and then if she doesn't do it, what are the consequences at school? And there's a whole different school of thought there too. You know, are you okay with the consequences for, you know, incompleted homework coming just from school? Or do you want those, you know, do you want those reinforced at home?
I guess that's where I struggle. So the way they do it is that they have a packet that's a 2-week period. So you got to do so many blocks of blah stuff and
that's
read.
Stuff. Yeah.
And then you
labor intensive.
Turn it over. Yeah. But it's repetitive. I mean, it's whatever, 2-week period. But if I don't block it off, then it piles up on her. And then, and then if we don't spread it out, then she's got so much to do.
It's overwhelming.
It's overwhelming. So, yeah, I have kind of permission from the teacher to say, if it's overwhelming, just don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I struggle with part of me. Do I set the structure up now? This is how homework goes. You do a little bit every day because it's not a whole lot. It truly isn't a whole lot. It takes her sometimes more than the average, her sister, for example, because I have a kind of a built-in control. To do things, so I set up from the get-go because I have another control of her brother who didn't do this stuff. We're paying the price on in sixth grade. To set up the structure now and this is how it goes, bam, 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 so that when you get older, you've been doing this forever, and this is how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
So she knows that this is, like, this is the structure. This is how we do it. This, you have to do a little bit every day. It's not a lot. It truly is not a lot. Or do I let her in these periods of that when she gets like that, like I'm watching a show and I'm not doing anything until I watch a show? That's cool. But after the show, when you said you do it after the show, but now you're still not doing it after the show, do I just let it go, which I could, but it's going to pile up on you. And then when it piles up on you, you don't want to do it. I could probably let it slide and tell the teacher if she just couldn't do it and she'd probably be okay with it. But then I struggle with
it. So you're not okay with it. Yeah.
I'm not.
Yeah, no, I completely get it.
Then you're not setting up the structure, but I think somebody's going to need that structure. I don't know.
But you are setting up the structure, right? I mean, she knows that she's supposed to do XYZ amount of minutes every day. And you're there to sit down with her if she's ready. And if, you know, if she doesn't want to do it when she gets home and then she doesn't want to do it after the show, then she, you know, she hasn't done it, but she still knows what the structure and what the expectation is, right?
I think so. I'm not positive about that, but I think she does. Yeah. No, she knows
Got
she's
it.
Bucking something. But then, right, at that time, I'm not so sure she's available to figure that out. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, and it's hard. I mean, 2 weeks, what do you say, 2 weeks or a month to get the packet done? I mean,
2 weeks.
No,
it's like a two-week thing that they go through. Yeah.
It's like impossible for a first grader. I mean, even a neurotypical first grader, 2 weeks is like, you know, months away.
Yeah.
Possible to make that work in your head. So that's fair. I mean, I think it's such that balance, right? Is it worth it? Is she aware what the expectation is? Is there something else going on? Is it that she needs time to rest and activate her brain a different way, or rest her brain so she can, you know, re-engage? Those are all, I mean, and you're asking all the right questions. It's just, it's in there somewhere. We're just not there yet. You're getting closer.
Yeah.
So Andrea, what are you thinking about?
No, I'm just thinking, you know, from my standpoint, I think about with my 15-year-old and sort of all the demands placed on him and, you know, is there maybe, you know, I keep saying, well, this has to be done by this time and you have to do this, you have to do this. You know, is it sometimes saying, okay, you know what, tonight you're tired, I'm tired, you know, even if the work gets done, it's not going to be done well, maybe we need to, you know, regroup and readdress this tomorrow, instead of it being this, well, the teacher says it has to be done by this date, so you're going to do it, you know, no matter what.
Yeah.
Sometimes you do more harm than good by just sort of saying, okay, well, tonight we're going to not do this, you know, in the interest of the greater good of, you know, you actually learning it if we just do it tomorrow, even though it's a day late for the teacher. Easier said than done when you have teachers who won't take late work, even if your child has an a 504 plan. That's the only, you know, challenge that I have there, because, you know, from my standpoint, as long as you learn the information, you know, before the test, does it really matter if the work is turned in today or tomorrow, as long as you've done it before the test and so that you can learn from it. You know, sometimes it's just not worth the battle to get it done on that exact day.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. And everyone's different, right? I mean, we all have our different value systems. It's more about, you know, kind of what we're okay with and when, you know, and I think that's something that ebbs and flows. And, you know, part of that being curious is what's behind our needs or our, you know, our feelings around motivation and getting things done on a certain time. And, you know, actually, it's a lot, right? Academic expectations, you know, we want our kids to do well so they can go to college, or we want them to have a good work ethic. We want them, I mean, it all kind of builds into what our image is of what this is supposed to be. And then that's where the fear comes in too, right? If I don't do this, then she won't develop a good work ethic. And you know, 10, 15, 20 years from now, she'll be living in the basement. And it's because she didn't finish her, or didn't get her passion stone on her daisy. and we do, we tend to catastrophize around that. And it's tough, you know, and sometimes, like I said, that curiosity is turning back on ourselves and saying, is this something that I really believe, you know, is this something that I grew up with? And that's why I have this feeling of fear or commitment to getting this done. Or is this, you know, something that's valid for who I am now and for the parent that I want to be? And the answer, you know, may still be yes. But I think, you know, we're hardwired to go back to whatever our parents did or whatever we were raised with. And so part of that, overriding that default, is kind of taking that step back and getting curious with ourselves. I'm just repeating myself. Sorry about that. And so you were talking about, again, taking a step back and kind of letting your kid be his own person and experience his own trials and tribulations. Is there a specific instance that you want to focus on today?
It's just been so ongoing this entire year. At this point, I don't know that there's one specific one. I mean, primarily it's one class, but of course then it starts bleeding into other classes, and it's his AP class that's the big challenge right now, where, you know, where I try to sort of let him do it himself and say, okay, I'm not going to go behind you and double check everything and go on the computer to log in to look to see what you're supposed to do when. But it's sort of hard to distance yourself and sort of let him do that when you see the zero come back and then another zero come back because it wasn't done, or if it was done, it wasn't turned in. And then you get the email, the email from the teacher. Or most recently, I have spoken to the assistant director of his school, you know, like 3 weeks in a row, regarding work not being done. So then at that point, I have to say, okay, you know, clearly whatever we're doing now isn't working. So what can we do that will work so that I'm not, you know, getting upset with him because I'm getting a call, you know, in the middle of my workday. You know, or receiving an email, or the wonderful, you know, instant message that you get from the Infinite Campus or Campus Portal, whatever it is, you know, telling you if your child has an updated grade, and, you know, you look and it's 0%, you know, flashing across your screen. And that's the challenge. You know, just you know, how do you do that and still, you know, interact with your child and it not always be negative, or why didn't you do this, why didn't you do that? It's still just very frustrating for me. It's much easier said that it's his work and it's his choice than it really is when you're getting the phone calls, when you're getting the emails, when you're seeing those arrows come back.
It's hard. It's hard to separate behavior from the child. I mean, there's definitely times when you're like, it is hard sometimes. You know, you want to be angry, you know, and it's easy to forget that there's other things going on. Is it only the AP class that he doesn't turn the homework in?
No. That'd be too easy.
Bummer.
So like his progress report of 5 of his 8 classes were failing grades.
So where do you think the breakdown is? So what else is going on, do you think? Is it all ADHD?
He has ADHD. He was diagnosed with depression as well recently. He's going to the therapist. We were going every week for a few weeks. We have now graduated to every 2 weeks. He's going to the psychiatrist every 2 to 3 weeks. He's on medication now. He's on medication. We've met with the school to put we transitioned schools, so we know that's part of what's going on as well.
Lots of change.
But, you know, it is. But at the same time, we did all we could to prepare him for the change. So starting in, like, I think it was end of March, we started preparing him for the change. You know, adjustment, and it was the school he got into, he had to apply to and be accepted into it. So they actually, my husband and him went to the information session November, the year before the year started for the school. So we,
yeah,
you know,
put
in place, you know. Yeah, so we put that, we had everything, you know, all of our ducks in a row. We had been going to the therapist before. We've been going to the psychiatrist before, and they basically said, oh, he's fine. He's a normal teenager, you know, and released us and basically released us. And, you know, and then the new school year started, and I kept thinking, are you sure we're good? Because I'm not sure we are, but okay, if you're telling me he's a normal teenager, I'm going to believe you all and go with it because you know more about that side of things than I do. This is my first experience with a teenager. And, you know, then everything sort of, you know, happened. And last semester, there were four failing grades at the nine-week point. Now we're only, what, not even 9 weeks in, and there are five failing grades. And, you know, he's on medication. So clearly this is not just the normal teenage behavior and not just what's happening.
He's internalizing. Sounds like he needs some successes somewhere.
Yeah. Well, he was doing well in his government class. I was like, I was like, why do we have like a 90%+ in government and a 44% in AP and in Spanish? But, you know, now, you know, so that class was really the shining star. And I was like, well, what's the difference with that class? Why are you doing so well? He's like, oh, I like the teacher. He's cool.
Okay.
And that's like, yeah, well, so I got excited about the class and I thought he was doing really well. And the last two couple of test grades that have come back have not been good. And the A, of course, is drifting down to a B, and not quite sure how to get him to put the brakes on and, you know, just do whatever he was doing in that class and keep it up and focus on doing well in that class in spite of the other classes.
Right. So, what else might be going on?
Lack of friends, I think, is part of it as well. Lack of a feeling of belonging. You know, not necessarily connecting to the other kids at his school. You know, we thought this was a good time to transition. It was ninth grade, first year in high school. Kids don't all know each other because they're coming from different schools, and also it's a magnet school, so definitely the kids are not coming from their home district. And so for him, I think it's been a little bit more challenging fitting in. One of the reasons we pushed for this school was because he thought it'd be a better fit because he is just a little bit different. Not necessarily as mature as some of the other kids. And I thought, well, that'll be great because the school was, you know, that's what they thrive on, that these kids are a little bit different. It's a smaller class size. There's only, what, 90-something kids in his grade. He does have to travel, like walk 47 steps to the main high school for two classes. But his other six classes are, you know, with his core group of kids. But there's still just not those connections like he's had before where, you know, he's going to someone's house or they're coming here or, you know, talking on the phone or texting, things like that. There's a little bit of it, but not to the extent that I think that he needs.
So what do you want to do?
As from my standpoint, I mean, anytime he tells us there's something going on, we make sure he gets there, you know, whatever it takes to get you to whatever event it is. You know, we tell him, hey, you can invite so-and-so over anytime. You know, because he is older, I don't know, and because it's a new, you know, new zone for us, I don't know the people in the school, so I can't call up the parents and say, hey, can so-and-so come hang out or anything like that, because I don't know the parents, and I don't know the kids.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, all I can do is, you know, when he does ask to do something with them, make sure that it happens. Like, for example, the went over on the counter, and he didn't say anything. He didn't give it to anyone. There was an invitation on the counter. And it's a birthday party.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And so, you know, I'm looking at it and I'm like, yeah, we've got a conflict that night. But because I know how important it is for him to have the social aspect, we'll make sure that it happens.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, you can always call the school too. And just be honest, you know, you're worried. You want to make sure that he's fitting in, and can they recommend some families that you can reach out to? And just organize, I don't know, hanging out, going bowling, something, just to kind of break the ice. And, you know, maybe you feel a little dorky or whatever, but, you know, it's worth it. And most schools and most parents I've found, you know, everybody wants to help if they can, you know, but, and if we don't ask, then, that's part of that getting curious thing, right? That might give you some insight too. Into how he's perceived at school and who they think would be a good fit. Some more questions to ask, if nothing else, some more answers to give.
Okay.
Chris, what do you want to do differently? Or what do you want to
say?
You're like, I want to take a nap.
I know. You know, I read so much and I listen so much to all this stuff, and it when it comes down mm-hmm. to those tantrums or those meltdowns when she's so stubborn and she's it's avoidance of doing something she doesn't want to do.
Yep.
And come hell or high water, she's not doing it. I lose all
okay.
strategies, and I don't know what to do. So what do I want to do?
So in the moment. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Let go of the fact or the idea or the thought that there's anything you can do in the moment when she's throwing a tantrum. Because there's once she gets there, there's nothing you can do or say at that point. And... So the goal has got to be to figure out how to either prevent the triggers from happening. And I'm not saying you, like, give in to her. But that's that getting curious piece. Is it the hungry? Is it, you know, what is it? But once she gets to the space where she's blowing up and she's, you know, butting heads with you, there's nothing you can do in that moment. And so maybe that's the takeaway. Just stop. Stop fighting that battle because you're not going to win.
Right.
How does that feel?
It's okay.
You don't like that?
No, I don't,
okay.
Because it's how long do you wait? Like, if it's ripe, it's always ripe before something has to happen. You know, it's ripe before bed.
Yeah.
So how long do I wait before she's got to put on her pajamas and go to bed? Or how long do I wait before we have to get out the door and go somewhere?
Mm. Hmm.
Although, like today, like she had to get to her swimming practice, and I had a whole bunch of time built up. Like, I'm getting there, you know, like I got the whole time to get her out the door because something's going to distract her on the way out there. And it did.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned that I can't just tell her we got to go because she was distracted by the schedule board, the whiteboard. And she wanted to erase it and redo it. I'm like, okay, we don't have time for you to rewrite that because we have to be at swimming
mm-hmm.
at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But I couldn't force her. I know I can't force her out the door because that's going to lose. So I let her.
Right.
Said, instead of rewriting the whole thing, why don't you just write your three, you know, you and your brother and sister's names down. And that worked.
Mm-hmm.
Just do those three mm-hmm. and let's go. So
perfect.
That worked.
And she knows what the schedule is, right? I mean, she's gotten her warnings. We're going to leave in 10 minutes. We're going to leave in 5 minutes. Here's what the plan is today.
Yes.
She knows
all that. But it still, it doesn't matter. Yeah. Like, you know, some of that doesn't matter because she'll get into something and then you're done. But,
So you ever tried making it a game?
Well, that's kind of what I'm, yes, but it doesn't work all the time. I need to get better at that, right? I need to explore my other options, my other strategies to do it. I need to get better at that. That's what I need to do, is work on those kind of strategies to, because obviously time doesn't work for her. You know, urgency doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I need to work on
knowing that. Yeah. I mean, it sounds like you've got several different avenues to explore still. And I know that's frustrating because it would be so much better if there was just one clear path and you could just, you know, fix the pothole and then it's smooth. But all the things that she's doing are things that are pretty typical for kids with ADHD under the age of 13. and maybe even older. Part of it is like you said, you managing you and then, figuring out what's going to work for now. And it'll work for a while and then it'll change a little bit, you know?
Right. So I guess what I need to take it on or whatever is figuring out what I think I should be doing and what I need to do. Because I'm very much almost like a rule follower. Like I read and what I read I should be doing, like setting a structure and sticking with that and letting her figure out, like in my head, I should take the homework thing. She needs to know from the get-go, a little bit from lessons I learned from my older child, understand a structure with homework every day.
But it's almost two different things, right?
I need to let that go a little bit sometimes when it doesn't work. I need to just let it go. It's fine one day that she doesn't do it.
Yeah.
But that's sort of my thing.
Yeah. But, it's also, which is the more important piece? Is the more important piece that she learns that she needs to put time in every day, some time in every day, or is it important that she turn the homework in? Because they're two different things. And
no, I don't care about turning the homework in. Homework in is stupid, really, to me. That part means nothing to me because it is dumb. Like most of it. Actually, they've gotten
busy work.
System, they've gotten better at it. They have done a more concerted effort of not making it so much busy work. I actually make it a little bit more meaningful versus when my son was there 5 years ago. They've gotten better at it, but even it's not that. It's more the structure of getting in the habit. I could care less whether she turns in or not so much. That doesn't really bother me as much. It's the habit, creating the structure and the habit of it.
Okay. So I would say, think about that a little bit. See what you can do differently in there that, one, helps create a habit. Maybe it's not a habit around homework. Maybe it is. Maybe it's, building up towards something else so that she gets in the practice of putting in a little bit of time towards something each day. Maybe it's, it really could be anything, come to think of it. If homework is not the place that you end up with, whatever floats up for you, whatever seems like it's going to be not the easiest, but the what makes the most sense in terms of tackling right now.
Right. Maybe it doesn't have to be every single day. Maybe if she's having a hard day, I give it up. And maybe that's more my issue than hers. Right.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
Ask yourself.
Hmm. Right.
Andrea, what's your action step going to be?
I think it's going to be getting to the root of why he isn't doing the work. Just sort of spending more time trying to figure out the underlying reason, because I think it's more than I just don't want to do it. But why and why specific classes and why specific assignments.
Yeah. It could be that perfectionism, too. You could just feel like there's really no point at this point because he's so far behind, and if you can't get an A or a good grade. I'm not saying that's the answer, but, we see that a lot with our kids. they want to do it really well. And if they don't think they're going to be able to do it well, why even bother to get started?
Right.
How do you envision beginning that process or asking those questions? Is it like a meeting with them? Is asking other people?
I think it's doing it when he's in a receptive mood. If that makes sense. I mean, there are times when, you know, I can approach him and, you know, he'll talk to me, and other times where he doesn't really want me to talk to him. I think it's, you know, finding, you know, that time and, you know, also making sure that I don't start with the schoolwork, because that definitely shuts him down. You know, so starting with, you know, something else that's unrelated and leading into it.
Yeah, I like that.
Awesome.
All right, guys, I can't wait to hear how it goes. Chris, I need to follow up with you on that referral. Diane was supposed to get that to me. I don't know if she did or not. I forgot about that.
She didn't.
Okay. I'll circle back with her and see what happens there. What else? I think our next. Let's see. Yeah, the week of the 19th is the next round of fabulous TSS sessions. So hopefully we get to talk to you guys then. Thanks for your work today, and have a wonderful week, guys.
All right. Thank you so
much. Thank you.
Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
The moderator has left the conference.